This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons back here at Fenway Park. A little bit of a weird day. I don't know if you guys have noticed. I see more of the window. Ted, you got your back to the window. It's been sunny, then it was raining, now it's sunny again. I'm not sure exactly what the clouds and weather gods are doing right now.
Mother Nature can't make up her mind.
No.
It's beautiful one day, Friday. It's going to rain like 3 inches.
Oh, can I give you a quick aside before we get... So yesterday...
Who doesn't love a quick aside?
It was pouring like hell.
Yep.
You guys know I have a new truck. I got an oil change yesterday. First oil change with the new
truck. Oh, sick brag, bro.
Nope. I go out there. It's pouring when we leave the show. And I'm like, why is there a puddle in my driver's side floor mat? Like the WeatherTech, the rubber. There's
literally
you know, 6 inch. Yeah. And I look... There's literally water pouring in under my dash, like on the steering column, under where your feet are, the pedals. I videotaped it.
Did you leave the hood open?
No, I didn't leave the hood open.
So you got the dealership. You got
it. I called them, and I'm bringing it in. I can't go back in until Monday. But it was the weirdest thing. I'm like,
I'm lawyering up, damn it.
Now I'm hoping.
I want an answer.
They knew you were a Tatum hater.
It could be,
yep.
And we'll get into that in a second here on WEEI Afternoons. But I was hoping maybe it's one of those freak things that like. It was pouring and the wind was blowing the perfect direction and my car was pointing and it
no
went
reason
in a vent.
That,
no, that's a little much. By the way, you may want to be careful because, again, it could be late rain tomorrow, Friday. Whoosh.
Well, I was also worried because there's like all kinds of wires under there. I actually videotaped it. You can see it pouring over wires and...
Just don't stick your tongue on there or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Save that, Stiz.
Yeah, don't hotwire your car anytime soon.
It is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. No Dan Ball, though, so we're going to be a little
it's
out
a
of
huge
sorts.
Loss for us.
It's a huge loss, but...
Do you want me to try?
All right, everyone, time for the three-point stance.
That seems hurtful, but Stiz, roll it. It's three-point stance time.
Green 19!
Ready!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
I'm not even going to try to recreate the magic that is Dan Ball's lead in to the three-point stance. He's a play-by-play guy. He knows lacrosse, baseball, and hockey. He does it all. But
wildly talented.
Absolutely. I will tell you today's three-point stance is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car accident or work accident, got to get Glassman. Call all sevens. I've been wanting to do this, though. 617-777-7777. Courtesy of Joe Castiglione.
Seven!
As we do every day at 3 o'clock, we have three hosts with 3 points, something that they are hot and bothered about, something they want to get off their chest. You get 1 minute per host. There is a buzzer. There is a clock. And we go in order of me and then Fitzy and Ted Johnson.
You're doing good, so yeah.
So, Stiz... I'm going to lead us off. I am indeed ready, so would you start my clock now?
All right, it begins now, Andrew.
Celtics begin tonight at 7 o'clock, TD Garden, and they need a bounce-back effort. And I think there is not a must-win game. We'll get into that later. But I think there's one person most of the world will be fixating on to lead them into a bounce-back effort, and I think it rhymes with JT.
Ooh, Cornette.
No. And there's one person that at least I will be focused on because I think he is the energy, the effort, and the attitude of the Boston Celtics. He's often also mic'd up, so sometimes you get to hear what he says. Jaylen Brown, your NBA Finals MVP, your Eastern Conference Finals MVP. I think he was pissed the other night. How they handled themselves, how they executed, the comment about launching up threes and the flow of the game. I think he wasn't happy with his own defensive performance. That was also part of it. So, JB, I don't want to hear you talk post-game. I want to see you do it in-game for four quarters. Get your ass out there and be the lightning rod. Be the injection of energy and effort and attitude. And if that means taking it in the paint, playing on 2 feet, as Scal says, taking it to the rim, dunking, I don't care. Don't shoot threes. That's not your game. Shoot an elbow jumper. Build the momentum for the Celtics. They need you tonight, JB. It's playoff time. It's JB time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I gotta... What if his coach tells him to foist as many three-pointers as he possibly can?
Who makes more money?
Okay, so you're advocating for an insurrection, mutiny in the garden.
As are you, because I heard you the other day bitching about the threes, and the threes come from the head coach. So if JB thinks better, do better.
I gotta get a little stat nug for you on JB, but we'll save that until after we've all gone.
All right, now I'm out of the stance mode, and I'm back into the host mode. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, the next three-point stance belongs to, who goes second?
That's Fitzy.
Fitzy! I thought it was Fitzy, but I wasn't sure. So Fitzy, are you ready?
I am indeed prepared.
Okay, your 60 seconds starts right now.
It's not going to be about Jason Tatum, tempting as it was, because I expect greatness from him and many other Celtics tonight. No, I'm going to speak of this NFL trade that was consecrated earlier this morning when the Pittsburgh Steelers traded the wide receiver that your New England Patriots should have drafted back in 2022 instead of Tyquan Thornton. That would be George Pickens, a tall outside ex-target who wins a lot of 50-50 matchups and perhaps still has talent that is yet untapped. But you do have to ask yourself the question, okay, so they got DK Metcalf in the offseason. Why do they want to get rid of George Pickens so badly? And the reason why you, New England Patriots fans, shouldn't worry about George Pickens going elsewhere for but a third and a fifth round pick if he could truly be a wide receiver number one is because he is not a culture fit. I will point out how many times players have been traded away, as Boar Sports points out on Twitter. Steelers, famous for trading away players that immediately crash out when out of Tomlin's orbit, but Pats fans are baffled as to why a rebuilding team focused on culture building wouldn't trade a day two draft pick for George Pickens. Oh, and by the way, you got Kyle Williams, who's a high character guy. And check out Pro Football Talk, talking about the fact that everyone in the building is in love with Steph Diggs. We're fine.
Everybody loves Steph Diggs in the beginning. It's the end when they don't.
We'll see.
Good enough for me right now.
What are the Steelers doing? You talk about a program that has lost its way, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are you kidding me?
Five words. Ready, Ted? Here it comes. Mike Tomlin's first losing season.
Yeah, maybe. It may be. It's just they have no answer at quarterback, and the team they needed wide receivers just traded away one of the good ones. So it's interesting.
But Alan Lazard will save the day. Yeah.
All right, we'll get back to that. You guys know how this works. You're not supposed to be talking out of order. Listen to the host when he's trying to control this. So Ted Johnson.
Yes.
You're third in this little trifecta of three-point stances. Are you ready?
I'm ready, bub.
All right, roll it, Stiz.
All right, Stiz, go ahead. Play that John Waite song. Get that song going. You guys know this song. This song, Change, it's called Change. Great song. One of the best movies ever. Yeah, no, Vision Quest. All right, I'll get on with my three-point stance. So why no changes from the Red Sox? Why no changes? You see the Texas Rangers. We're almost a third of the way into the season. The Texas Rangers have the exact same record as the Boston Celtics, as the Red Sox do, and they got changed. Their hitting coach, for crying out loud, that was a big change. Really, what are the Red Sox? The only things I've really seen them do is move some guys around the lineups. Tristan Casas from 4 to 5 to 6 to 7. Maybe Trevor Story up a little bit here and there. Maybe Willier Abreu they've done. They've made some changes, but nothing really is earth-shattering that should shake up maybe the locker room and get a guy's attention. And you see, again, the Rangers getting a new hitting coach, and then they get 16 hits on you last night. So why the reluctancy to change, bring up maybe some of the younger kids? You don't see that. They are so hell-bent on trying to get the plan they had at the beginning of the season to work right now, and it ain't working, boys.
All right, Ted.
Wait, you heard that song? Ken, you never heard that song?
I don't think I've ever heard it.
And you've never, Fitzy? You've never heard that song?
I don't think.
You've heard this?
Yes.
Visit
yes.
Quest, though.
Of course.
There we go.
Okay, let me hear.
This is one of the best all-time songs. With the Matthew Modine. Are you kidding me? This the scene where he's doing the pegs up on the wall. He's
right.
Oh, whoa, whoa. What,
Ted almost like, just punched the lights out in the studio.
That was just on.
Yes.
The other night somewhere I was scrolling through and that's what I hit. He was climbing and everybody stops to go watch him. Nobody.
They're watching Loudon Swain. Loudon Slow.
Oh, yeah.
Climb the pegboard.
Saw that on my
iconic
IG.
Iconic soundtrack, which most famously features Crazy For You by Madonna.
It does, and also Lunatic Fringe.
One All right, rein it in, boys. We're not here to talk about 80s.
Ah, sorry, people were interested in what we were talking
music
about.
Music and, yeah. No.
Right. Yes, they were.
No, can we get back to what you were saying, though?
Yeehaw. So the Andy part of me wanted to react a certain way to your 3 points.
Oh, by all means. I'll shut up.
The Andy part of me is very simple. There's one answer to why they haven't reacted, changed.
And I think we know what the manager thinks.
He just told us, 2.5. Yeah. The number of games they are back, that they are in second place. And if they were in a different division, if they were in a different season, and they were now 7 games back and thought they were a good team, but were 7 games back, we're digging a hole that we might not be, I think maybe there'd be a little bit more pressure to make changes. But they're a couple wins away from being in first
place. Is that an excuse that is okay with you? Or rationale or reason?
It is, because I'll go back to your boy, Parcells, who I asked Alex the question about your record is what you are what your record says you are kind of thing. But he also famously said, just get into the tournament, right? All you got to do is get in the tournament. And
yeah, he said a lot of things.
I know.
And once you get in, don't be the guy to screw us up and get out. Thanks, coach.
But you know, you're hanging with the Yankees, and if you can hang with them, doesn't matter what your record is, you can win the division because you're hanging with the Yankees, right? So that you can say that they're being maybe a little reluctant to make changes, but there's no impetus, right? There's no
pressure,
there's no deadline, there's no pressure, there's no. Now, if that lead grows or changes, maybe that'll change their perspective on this. But I think that's the simple answer. A different time, different division, different year, whatever, it'd be different.
Yeah, but if your hitters, okay, so you were mentioning earlier the Breslow principle of a third of the way through the season, 54 games, which basically tracks with Memorial Day, which has always sort of been like the goalpost or the post marker for when you get to know your team or things should settle out, right? Well, by that point, if Jaron Duran really isn't in gear and Raffy still has single-digit home runs and the offense has stagnated, that's when you really should consider making a change.
No, but I would say it's too late. You need to start considering changes now.
And what changes are you, in your mind, sort of – are you talking about the Meyer, Roman Anthony?
Well, I'm talking about, you know, the I don't know, pitching – I'm talking about maybe staff,
coaches.
Hitting coaches.
Pete Fatsy, the hitting coach?
Like a big philosophy change in launch angles instead of maybe start playing. You have an athletic team. It makes no sense for a team that is touting how athletic they are to not have an element of small ball in their thinking when it comes to – they are 4-9 in one-run games.
Yeah.
That is when you should be shorting in your swings, you know, just trying to get the ball in play. No, they're still swinging out of their ass. It's maddening to watch. So a philosophical change would be something I would suggest would be I don't know, welcome to and might do them some good.
But isn't that
their hitting coach's job?
But doesn't it reek of desperation? So you have a philosophy that you honed or you prepared for in December and January, then you brought it down to Florida, February and March. This is how we want to play. This is what we want to be. And then
it may be
a month and a half later, you're like, forget all that. That's not who.
But I've had a problem with the philosophy from the very beginning.
Yes.
So you can't tell me you have an athletic team, and then you don't play small ball. That, mm-hmm. That to me, I can't. It just doesn't even make sense.
It's contradictory. Yeah.
I can't square that up. And I'm not even like a big baseball guy, but that doesn't even make sense to me. So it's hard for me to understand. Look, I know they won a bunch of home runs, but you lead the major leagues in strikeouts. And it wasn't just after the first week or the second week, or the first month or the second month. It's like all season long.
Yeah. And also to sort of strengthen your argument, the mixed messaging or whatever you want to call it, the manager has told us on multiple occasions, I hate strikeouts. Strikeouts.
12 again last night.
Right. Like, so your manager, who is, I know we get into this debate, is the boss of the baseball team. I know sometimes we're not sure about that, if the front office is actually the boss or computers are actually bosses. But he's the on-field boss of the baseball team, says he hates strikeouts, and they keep striking out.
Yeah.
Like, that's tough to, you know, kind of bring together in your mind? Like, okay, change.
I've always said partly, I think they organizations do that way on purpose so that you never really know who to blame. It just has us all befuddled, and that's probably how they want us.
Well, also at the same time, like, I'm going to go with a smaller government approach to this right now, which may fly in the face of what you guys may expect to hear from me. But sometimes this is also just on the players. Sometimes you have to just think, you know what, Rafi Devers, you didn't necessarily show up in shape. Hey, Jaren Duran, you might be trying to do a little bit too much. Hey, Christian Campbell, take it easy. Your athleticism will ultimately lead you to do greater things for us offensively. Like, guys are just probably either pressing or they're doing too much.
It's 38 games of examples of how the players are adjusting, and they're not. So then it's time for someone to step in and make a change. You know, like, the players have gotten – I mean, a lot of these guys have gotten a lot of rope that kind of – work through things.
And some have earned the rope, and some have less earned the rope, I would say. But the Casas, I would have put in that category. I don't know if he had the rope that
he did not, or else he would have been moved in the lineup like he was moved.
Right. So, Fitzy, I actually wanted to get back to your so this was a, I won't say out of nowhere trade today. Everybody knew the Cowboys wanted wide receivers, and there was some speculation that George Pickens could get dealt.
Which comes, you know, as a bit of a surprise to me, though, while you gentlemen were baseball arguing, I did see on the social platforms that Jeremy Fowler said the Steelers are counting on a big year two jump from Roman Wilson, the wide receiver they took out of Michigan last year.
I bet they get it. Because usually when the Steelers draft receivers, they do a pretty good job.
They're kind of the best, period. George Pickens is also, by all accounts, a very good receiver who could potentially be a stud once again. Maybe he flourishes in Dallas, or maybe, like some have speculated, he crashes out. Because he's going to be out of, as they call it, Tomlin's orbit. He is a handful and a half, and then some. That said, it still doesn't make up for the fact that we took Tyquan Thornton and they took George Pickens.
So you did not want the Patriots to even consider this. This is an interesting one.
I'd have preferred Metcalf over Pickens if I had my choice between the two.
Well, the Steelers would prefer that too. That's why they
That's why they made the
order of operations.
Exactly.
Deontay Johnson's an interesting guy that everybody, I think, deemed toxic. He was that one guy, even Rich Keefe, who loves every receiver that's ever played, doesn't matter whether they
bat
down a house, anything.
Crotch chop.
Yeah, anything. He would take AB right now, I believe. But even he said Deontay Johnson is
a bad person
off the list. Mm-hmm. I think Pickens is an interesting one. What exactly are his mistakes,
toxic
issues? Yeah.
That's a good question. I have
for
not
a team
seen
with
it.
Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels and Doug Marrone.
Let me put it to you this way. So you have a organization and a franchise like the Steelers and a head coach who has for years managed big egos at wide receiver position.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, I mean, maybe not ever, but he hasn't been there that long, right?
He's 3 years.
If Mike Tomlin's ready to get rid of this guy, and he's had some of the characters he's had, Antonio Brown naming one of them and others that were just hard to manage personality-wise, then something's up with this kid, in my opinion. Like, for them to get rid of him when they need all the firepower they can get on offense, because it is just a tough offense to watch, to me, that is red flags all over the place. And it's interesting. I talked to my buddy down in Dallas who does radio about Brian Schottenheimer, the new head coach. He's doing is talking about culture. And now you trade for a guy that's got issues. It's like, you traded for Joe Milton, who now we're all starting to hear was an issue behind the scenes and sees himself as a starter. You traded for him, and now you got Pickens, who's got a history of having issues with the organization. And now the new head coach is saying culture. To me, Dallas is already a mess. Because to me, this is old Jer doing his thing and not really probably caring what the new head coach thinks.
This is a side note, and I actually wanted to ask you this, the culture thing in Dallas. Mm-hmm. The report was that Brian Schottenheimer unilaterally moved Micah Parsons' locker next to Dak Prescott.
That's correct.
They just showed up.
I that's exactly right.
What did you think of that? Like, how does that – that's like the elementary school teacher, like, you can't sit with your friends. I'm going to put you with somebody else. Like, how do you react to that as a professional?
A little bit like, huh? But if it works, if all of a sudden you start winning games, then it'll be genius. So you got to win. But there's going to be pushback from an organization that maybe isn't being used to held itself players being held accountable. If all of a sudden there's this strong arm that comes in and Schottenheimer's leading it, guys are going to push back initially unless you got to win. You got to win for these things to be accepted and not, you know, have issues.
And let's also consider that he's going someplace where there is a clearly established wide receiver one.
Oh, yeah.
CeeDee Lamb. Like, yeah. George Pickens, if you... So,
well, that was the problem, that he's not good at working with other...
Number ones?
Yes.
So and is he, so like, he going to be mad about this trade then?
It doesn't sound... I haven't heard that. The only thing I've heard about from his vantage standpoint is that he is okay with not getting a long-term extension done right now.
Well, and I actually think that's good for the Cowboys. He needs to play well, keep his you-know-what together. Because he also saw... Deontay Johnson, a teammate whose career spiraled very quickly, kind of out of control.
After he punched Mitch Trubisky.
Bounced from team to team. Like, he learned a lesson. Talent gets you in the league. Talent can keep you around for a little while, but if you're that big of a pain in the butt.
You only get so many chances.
Right. Yeah. Right. So he needs to make this work in Dallas, either to stay with Dallas on a contract or to move on. But
I think I think he looks at this as an audition year, especially on a team that's going to have to be so offensive minded, because the NFC East is all of a sudden just wide open. Oh. Everybody is wild, and the Commanders are going for it. Period.
It's fun.
Your Eagles are the Super Bowl. This is the NFC North of the. Excuse me. This is the AFC North now of the. Wait, hold on. But the NFC North, the NFC is just going to be a phenomenal watch this year.
Interesting that we wrap up 3-point stance here with football, because up next. The gift that keeps on giving, Bill Belichick, North Carolina, the interview, Jordan, PR experts. We continue to find these little pieces of information that make us wonder more and more. Why is UNC so tied into Bill Belichick, and what are they getting out of the relationship? Because I learned today in a story that Ted Johnson put in our rundown what the attendance was at UNC's spring football game, and you will not believe it. I'll tell you what it was next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Nick Fitzy Stevens brings you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending right now, loud voices in a small room. The Celtics look to avenge their stunning Eastern Conference semifinal game one loss to the Knickerbockers tonight at the TD Garden, tip-off set for once again 7 p.m. Sam Hauser is listed as doubtful with an ankle injury, while Kristaps Porzingis is probable with a non-COVID illness. Meanwhile, back here at Fenway Park, the Red Sox look to end their three-game skid following last night's disappointing 6-1 defeat against old pal Nate Eovaldi and the Texas Rangers. Lucas Giolito got the loss, giving up 6 runs on 10 hits in just 3 2/3 innings. Tanner Houck, 0-2 on the season with a 6.38 ERA, faces the Rangers' Tyler Mahle in his impressive 1.19 ERA. You can hear Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo on the call on the game. First pitch tonight, 6:45, right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Christian Arcand, our guy, is anchoring the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. That starts at 5:45. And in NFL news, the Dallas Cowboys are trading Steelers wide receiver George Pickens, sending Pittsburgh a 2026 third-round pick and a 2027 fifth-round pick in exchange for the fourth-year wideout and a 2027 sixth-rounder. And the Jacksonville Jaguars have released wide receiver Gabe Davis. Trending right now is brought to you by Awaken 180. Be like Andy Hart and Ted Johnson. Give yourself a goal of losing 40 pounds by the fourth. It's doable. It's easy. And your summer self will thank you. Just visit awaken180weightloss.com. This is your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens for WEEI Afternoons, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More coming up on Bill Belichick right after this.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
I mean, my goodness gracious, and her scenario there last week with, you know, we're not going there, and the idea, I guess she kept CBS waiting for 30 minutes. That was a complete disaster. I mean, this girlfriend of his, I mean, I'm sorry. You know, she's a young kid. She's 24 years of age. She knows nothing about the media spotlight, especially the sports media spotlight, and it looks like she's got Bill twirled around his finger.
Mad Dog, who like us has offered up plenty of opinions on the Jordan Hudson Bill Belichick situation.
Everyone's got an opinion on it.
Yep, and we'll continue to share ours. WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy Stevens in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in to get employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles. Ford, from America, for America. So I teased it before the break. Bill Belichick, new head coach. Greatest coach of all time, right? I believe he's the GOAT. Isn't that accepted, Fitzy?
Yep.
I'll let
that's
you weigh in.
That's what everyone that's okay. what everyone.
I think it's much of a debate.
He has somewhere pretty between sure, six sure. and eight Super Bowls, depending on who you ask, because I only count the six that you're the head coach. But if you want to count the assistant rings, you can do that. Call your boat whatever you want to call it.
I'm not in on that. Our podcast is six rings.
Yeah, six rings.
Can I, real quick, can you, if I interrupt real quick and you won't get this all messed up?
Yeah.
Quickly, you mentioned how he says he was won eight yeah. Super Bowls, even though he was a defensive coordinator for yeah. two of them. He also claims that the Patriots, in his statement to about the CBS event, in that statement, he says he basically helped make the Patriots go from a $500 million entity to whatever, billion dollar.
Oh, yeah.
And he also said he's helped them get to 10 AFC championship games. Can you figure out what he's talking about when he says 10?
Oh, yeah.
Because
head coach, DB's coach under Parcells.
There you go.
He's
claiming AFC, getting the team to the AFC mm-hmm. championship when he was a secondary coach in 1996 under Bill Parcells.
Well, you know you can't spell Bill without the letter I.
Correct.
Or Belichick without a pair of eyes. Oh. So there's a lot of I's nice. In Bill Belichick's way of looking at things.
Save that audio still.
That's good.
So UNC, we've seen this in recent years. You know better than anybody that a high-profile, big-name coach can inject life into a lifeless football
program.
I saw Deion Sanders go to Colorado in the spring game. Went crazy. Tens of 50,000. I don't even know what it was.
Yep.
A boatload of attention.
Should be a lot of hoopla and hype around Belichick coaching a game at UNC, right?
Pete Carroll went to USC.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But they went nuts.
Yeah, they went nuts. So North Carolina had their spring game. Fitzy, I'll give you first guess. How many people were in attendance at their spring game?
30,000.
Wrong. Ted, I'll give you a guess. Give me a number. Just a number.
I'm gonna
optimistic,
say,
pessimistic, whatever you want to do.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to go way down. I'm going to say it had to be good. I'm going to say around 2,000.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty sure my son played in front of more people on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh.
2,000 people showed up at the UNC spring game. And I don't know what their past numbers were. People show up every year. I'm sure there's, you know, old coots that give to the program that go every year. So there's probably a baseline of like 400 or 500.
They must have had
show up every year.
Was it a holiday? Was there weather involved?
No, there was no weather involved. There was no holiday, Linda or otherwise, involved. It was a spring game with Bill Belichick, the $10 million coach. Mm. Who got an extra $10 million in NIL, who is reconfiguring the whole program with Mike Lombardi as his GM and Steve Bell. And
they call themselves the 33rd team.
So you know, if you really were an NFL team and you went out, and even if you had training camp and no one showed up, the owner would be like, hey, can you come in my office? Why is there no buzz? Why is there no interest in this mm-hmm. football team? I thought, when I sold my soul to you, when I ripped the sleeves off my jacket and stood in front of America looking like a jackass, that I would get return on that investment.
Beat Duke.
And they put a lot of money into raising their NIL funds and then also giving him the salary and the coach's salary.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of money involved. And I'm guessing there was some coercion or at least massaging of people, the hesitations. We've heard different things about how it all came together. There's people that have invested a lot of money that I think probably expected more than 2,000 people to be at the spring game. I think they probably expected when they read the USA Today college football rankings to be higher than 80, 8-0, not 8, not 8. There's an extra 0 in the 80, mm-hmm. almost Bill's age, your 80th best football team in America. They probably expected to have better than the 43rd ranked recruiting class, which was worse than what it was under Mac Brown, also a 73-year-old, also an accomplished coach who had won elsewhere, didn't necessarily win at North Carolina. So this just jumped off the page. This was Henry McKenna, Fox Sports, had this little nugget in his, if you're familiar with the name, he did cover the Patriots for a while for Fox Sports. He now does
amazing appearances on the Six Rings and Football Six Things Rings podcast.
Now he's writing columns about Bill Belichick, and he went down what I would like to call Teddy Johnson Lane. Should they be at least considering, like, this relationship's not working, maybe we need to go in a different direction? Because 2,000, that's an eye that has to have, and this was before Jordan went off the rails. So now you have No one's paying attention to us. No one's coming to play for us. No one thinks we're any good. And your girlfriend is a black guy on the university.
And just to give people some kind put it in perspective, you know, look, you're not going to be close to what Alabama's program, but Alabama, 92,000 show up for the spring game. 92,000. So I know it's not the same. I get it. But just to give you a kind of understanding of how bad NC's
missed it by 90,000. We were this close.
All right, so wait.
Maybe there was traffic and people couldn't get there.
What was the date of this said spring game?
April 12th?
So early April. So we're looking at a little less than a month ago.
Is this excuse-making 101?
No.
No,
this is actually fact-finding 101 or Speculation City, Population Us.
Okay.
Jordan was not as much of a factor as she has been over the last 2 weeks. So that couldn't have turned people off.
Nope.
Oh, that's not true.
Not like it would. You know, you think she had turned people off so much by then?
Well, there's been. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think UNC got turned off by the fact that they lost a couple hundred grand at least in fees from HBO for losing Hard Knocks.
Yeah, that was late February.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning of the combine. Yeah. They wanted to announce it with the combine.
And it was the deal was about as pretty much done as done gets. And then there was a little snag at the very end. And the theory is that Jordan wanted to make sure that she was in the credits for executive producer. And they were like, no. And so they moved on from that and lost the school. I mean, what is hard to put a value on, but millions of dollars in free exposure by that. And then
need, apparently.
Right. And then you got, you know, the reports are that she forced her way onto Belichick's Dunkin' Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then there's a report out there that she interjected herself into the production of Bill's underdog fantasy show. So these are things that are going way, way back. And then, of course, we know she micromanaged CBS's interview just a couple weeks ago, and that's courtesy of NBC Sports.
Okay, so we all know that she is a massive pain in the you-know-what.
Yep.
And she's interrupting his affairs. She's bringing negative press towards all things Belichick, UNC, and giving us lots and lots and lots of free content. But I still don't see how that would diminish interest in UNC football fans. I don't know how many people usually attend a UNC spring game.
I can give you one.
But to drop all the way down to 2,000 is insulting.
Let me put it this way. So in one of the things in that article, and I didn't know if you were going to get there, and so I was giving you an opportunity to, but you didn't, so I'm going to bring it up, is one of the frustrations for the media down there and fans is that when they go to practice, they don't know who's who.
Right.
Well, what do you mean they don't know who's who? Bill is doing the number thing. Guys, we're not putting numbers on you until you earn a number. So what did they – so the rules were in football, in the NFL, the guys got to have a number. Like, you can't have a team out there with no numbers. So Bill gives rookies and guys that haven't made the team crazy numbers, yep. Right? And so they got to earn their number. So people say trying to watch a practice down there is very frustrating. It's not – that fun. It's not that enjoyable. He limits the players to get to talk to the media, yep. And he rarely talks to the local media. So he is doing things that you would clearly are the university cannot be happy about, and it is not helping them sell the program, thus low attendance maybe at the spring game.
And he's not the only college football coach that's ever been restrictive or a pain in the ass. I'm going to argue he might be the only college football coach ever making $10 million a year with 2,000 people at his spring game that's being a pain in the ass.
Who's never coached a college game in his life.
Correct. That school needs attention, needs buzz, needs their players out there. Nick Saban can be the biggest a-hole at Alabama he wants because 92,000 people are at the spring game and everybody's going to be watching the season opener thinking they're going to win the national title yet again. Bill Belichick.
Better win.
This is going to be disrespectful, but it is what it is. He's a nobody as a college football coach right now. He's a legit nobody. And the other thing that was noted by Henry McKenna that didn't really strike me, I fixated on the stupid look that it was to wear the Navy sweatshirt with all the holes in it because it's just dumb.
Yeah.
Also, when we read that list yesterday, it hit me. You wore the sweatshirt of a school that's better than you in college football. It's not like you wore Kent State and we can laugh at them because they're ranked last. Navy is ranked like 30 or 40 spots ahead of you. Theoretically, you aspire to be better than them eventually. And right now, your coach who's marketing the school in a way, is on CBS on a Sunday morning. And what you see on his chest isn't UNC. It's not a Tar Heel. It's not a Jordan logo or anything. It says Navy.
This, if I may, if I may, we were all so bombasted by Jordan's behavior and Bill Belichick's appearance that we forgot to look past the very obvious. This is a perfect opportunity to promote the brand that is paying you tens of millions of dollars, literally eight figures right now.
Yeah.
And you wear your old or your dad's Navy sweatshirt to prove what a football hardo and lifelong genius you are. I have to say, I hadn't even considered
idiotic.
That is maybe one of your best points in recent memory. And you know how difficult it is for all of us to compliment you. That was an excellent point.
It
really
didn't hit me until I read the list and realized Navy is a better football, because we don't think of Navy as like a high profile program. They, you know, might get in the back end of the top 25. We all watch Army versus Navy, but they're better than you. They're a better program than what you're leading right now, and you just promoted them on national television.
What does that tell you? Is Bill about promoting a program that he just got a job to, or is he about promoting himself?
Oh, he has zero ties to UNC.
It's like zero. He's out there not pumping up his new university.
Nope.
He's pumping up his book that really nobody wants to read because you don't have anything really interesting in it, right? And
right.
yet there's all these opportunities to put raise the profile of your team, and he has no desire to do that. If I'm UNC, I'm pissed because of that.
And if I'm assuming Jordan is their jersey provider for football too, the Jordan brand, the Nike offshoot Jordan brand.
Oh, she also requested to have her name, she wanted to be part of the logo too.
Yeah, no,
you put a shadow character of her face on every jersey.
Don't you think they would like Bill?
That's Jordan brand, Ted.
Don't you think they would like Bill to be out there with a Jordan logo on him on CBS in front of couple million people who I don't care if they're old. I don't care what that audience is on a because then the interview goes to social media. Then it goes
wear a Navy hat and a North Carolina sweatshirt.
My God, this story gets stranger the more we talk about it and the more we think about
Bill's
it.
Changed. I keep saying he's the same guy he's always had. He just doesn't have the bumper plates that you have in bowl. He doesn't have the people or the kind of things in his life that are natural kind of restraints. He's just wide open and you see him doing things that I think he's always been capable of, but now just no constraints.
617-779-7937. Reacting to the latest in all these Bill Belichick rumblings out of North Carolina, is he injuring his legacy, degrading his legacy? Ted Johnson has said you should consider moving on North Carolina, but overall, are people in the big picture going to remember this about Bill Belichick? Is he altering the view of his career and his time as a leader of young men on the football field? 617-779-7937. We'll touch on that and a couple nuggets from the Patriots up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
There's good pitching in the big leagues. We just have to be better with Nate. Hate when he pitches against us, hate it, you know, but he's my guy, man. What he did for us in 18, second to none, obviously all those guys from the starting rotation, and he cares about the city, he still loves it. It just matters that, you know, Arlington is very close to Houston and that's home for him.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora.
You heard us talking a little H-Town, me and Alex?
Oh, I heard.
Before the interview?
I heard you.
I was just trying to get some, out. Just trying to get some, connect with him on a different level.
Human level.
So we talk, I think Houston, you talk restaurants. So
I was going to say, what'd you say? I heard a couple restaurants.
Yeah, you know, Papado's, Papacito's, you know.
Papacito's.
You mentioned the old Rib Tickler?
And, you know, I didn't want to, man, I should have thrown out the Rib Tickler. And he's like, well, Rib Tickler is my favorite place. I'd have been like, what up, bro?
He did not say that. I watched the interaction.
One time I went there and I got sick and like, oh, no, right.
Cut his mic. Cut his mic.
Yeah, but no, that was fun to just go down memory lane. I mean, that was a fun team to cover, that tooth. Unbelievable. You know, you guys know the story about that, the Sports Illustrated.
Oh, yes. I was going to say which story.
Yeah.
The preview story or addendum?
Stop right now. All right. This is my story. But the Sports Illustrated predicted that the cover of the 2017 cover after the World Series would be the Houston Astros on there. Yeah. And sure enough, there they were, man.
How about that?
Anyway, we digress.
We're just going to skip the other part. Anyway, that was Alex Cora earlier today here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed the interview, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons. Use the rewind feature. Or you can just wait a little more than an hour because at 5 o'clock, we're going to re-rack it. And I think you'll be very interested. Interested is the word I'm going to use. I don't know if you'll like what he has to say or not be happy with what he has to say, but I think you'll be interested to what he has to say about his baseball team, and especially as it concerns the first base position and how they're going to handle that moving forward. Is
and
that there, safe?
And other things, just kind of how they see the season and why maybe they haven't been as quick to make decisions. I think he'll have a couple answers that will raise your ears.
So. Time.
Yep, that was part of it. Yep.
All I kept hearing when he said the time thing is, there's like that song, Time, It's on Our Side. What movie is that from? Who is that from? I feel like it was from The Hurricane, that movie with Denzel Washington, but I might be wrong.
I just remember the song called Hurricane.
Good movie, though.
It was a very good movie. So we've been touching on a lot of Bill Belichick. We haven't talked a lot of Patriots over the last week, and there's a few nuggets that I just want to get to real quick here with the Patriots. So first of all, there was some media availability this week. They do that most weeks in the offseason on a Tuesday. They'll bring one or two players out there. Yesterday it was Kyle Duggar, and
thank God. It'd be nice to hear from him more. It's supposed to be, you know, I don't know, captain of this team. I never hear from Kyle Duggar, so sorry, I just jumped on you.
No, I actually like it. I didn't expect that reaction. Well, thank God he's soft-spoken. Talking.
Can we hear from Kyle Duggar, please? Thank you.
So you want more vocal leadership from Kyle Duggar?
I feel like he plays a natural leadership position.
Yes.
He's kind of been anointed a leader, yet I never hear from him. Like, that's not how leaders act. They don't address the media. They get out there and they let, you know, fans know how they're thinking. That's part of being a good leader.
We also got to hear from a guy who hopefully isn't really a leader, but is a valuable veteran part of the team, I guess, in backup quarterback Josh Dobbs.
Mm.
Do you have any quick reactions to that?
Oh, I found it very, very interesting.
Okay,
thought about how the mood and how an overall quarterback room works, and that the backups should kind of know their place. Here's a backup saying that that it's important that there's that dynamic that we're all supporting each other, and that, yeah, we all compete and push each other, but at the end of the day, we're there about supporting each other. Thank you, Josh Dobbs. Not in a million gazillion years would you have heard that from a Joe Milton if he was asked the same question, if he was still here.
I feel like you pile on Joe Milton a little bit. I generally agree with your message.
If I'm critical of him, it's because I'm critical of the players that don't understand their role on a team. And I don't think he understood his role on this team.
Nope. Got way out ahead of himself. Thought he was the man now, dog. And guess what? He is the man now who's going to be throwing to George Pickens on the sideline.
I'm not for guys that don't
schmear around
the team first. I just feel like he did it. And I had feelings of that from the very beginning and thought that that was maybe a possibility. It turned out I was right.
Can I tell you, just as a Patriots fan who also happens to work in the media, I am super excited to not see Josh Dobbs take any meaningful snaps this year.
But based on the 1 year we have to extrapolate from, he'll take some snaps. Because Drake May wasn't the most durable of players last year, even with a smaller sampling of playing.
He also got hit probably more than any quarterback and had no protection. So,
and you know who'll protect him now?
Josh McDaniel.
Alligator or Campbell.
Or die trying.
I'll protect you right now, I promise
you. He'll die trying. So both players that spoke, I personally got something out of their time.
What did you get out of this? Because I actually liked this, and I know he's the greatest guy, so he's pretty much never screwed up anything in his tenure on our football radar. But the numbers came out this week for the rookies: 66 for Campbell, 32 for Travion Henderson.
And D-Mac was a huge fan,
and he retweeted something to the effect like, "Be good to finally see some speed in that number or something like." Which, by the way, D-Mac was fast; was one of the fastest players on the team.
Clocked at 21 miles per hour when he got that pick in 2017.
But I just looked like the way he is, I guess in wrestling they'd say putting the guy over, like putting the young guy over kind of thing. Because you have these things in New York where Abdul Carter's pissing everybody off because he wants to wear 56 and then he wants to wear 11. Whereas here, a guy takes 32, which wasn't retired or anything, and then Devin McCourty is like promoting him, like the veteran former player is helping the new guy get off on a good popular foot.
That's Steve McCourty. I think that follows his brand.
Yeah, I know, but I just like it. Mm-hmm. I like
that's
it.
Cool, yeah.
And it's good for everybody involved. I think it makes D-Mac look good. I think it makes Henderson look good. And then the other thing for me was, that's just a good running back number. 32 is like a good classic running. If he's as good as he's supposed to be and is like a rookie of the year candidate right out the gates,
the only better
it looks
is
good.
34. That's the only number.
It's funny because I saw a lot of different like I saw a lot of different articles about rookies expected to make immediate impact. Who could be an early rookie of the year candidate on offense? Not a single one of those Twitter posts that was like, grab these five fantasy wide receivers or here are 10 guys to consider, mentioned Travion Henderson, which means he could be a little bit of a sleeper candidate because you obviously know what a fan I am.
Which means maybe you should go on one of your apps and see if you can get him to win the award and make yourself a little money with a little juice on that bet. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we've mentioned it. It is game two tonight at the Garden, Celtics and Knicks. But we're not quite done putting the game one loss to bed. Tim Legler had some really, really interesting comments. He kind of sounded like a Celtics fan, a green team, or a spoiled Boston fan in his rant, which goes on nearly 4 minutes about the way they played basketball in that loss to the Knicks. We're going to play some of that to you. Start it, stop it, react to it, because I know Ted has some strong thoughts. Fitzy has some strong thoughts on that. So interesting audio reaction to the Celtics game one loss to the Knicks. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.